Okay, good morning. We're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Kuf Nun Gimel, right at the top. We're talking about the Koach HaRatzon and the power of desire. And we said, really, there's not a lot to do in this world. A lot of the things that people do are really foolish things. They're things that are transient. And really, the only thing we could do is try to get close to Hashem. And the Yetzer Hara tries to make us forget about that most important thing. And even if intellectually you know that that's true, but in your heart it doesn't stay there. But the soul really wants to do the will of Hashem. The problem is that the soul is hidden from us, so to speak, and doesn't get revealed. So, and therefore, in the revealed world, there's all kinds of desires. So we're on page Kuf Nun Gimel, right at the top. Yesh lehis sponein. There is what to reflect on. Madua be'emes betchilas haderech kokasha lavodes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it, truthfully, at the beginning of this pathway, is it so hard to serve Hashem? Ma'u amonea hamafriya. What is the thing that's holding us back? She'enu maniach l'adam liskadem. It doesn't allow a person to proceed further. Vatshuva brura. And the answer is clear. Ha'helem shel ha'neshama, ha'helem shel ha'ratzon shel ha'neshama, huzeh shemoneh me'adam es ha'iskadmus ves ha'aliyah ha'miyucheles. The hiddenness of the soul, the hiddenness of the desire of the soul, that is what prevents the person from proceeding further and moving forward and going higher in his avodas Hashem, which is not relating to that soul and the ratzon that's there. Yesh ne'emar yadua. There's a famous saying that we did earlier in this book that says, "Ein davar ha'omed bifnei ratzon." There's nothing that stands in front of a sincere desire and will. The question is, "Al eiza ratzon medubar?" What kind of ratzon? What kind of desire are we speaking about? Al ratzon shel haguf? Is it talking about a physical desire? Harei roim anu be'einenu shehar ben hashem rotzim dvarim shonim u'besofa shel davar ratzon enu miskayim. We see with our own eyes that there's many people who want many different things in the physical world, and at the end of it all, what they want, they don't get. You don't get it. It doesn't play out in the physical world. Vaday im kein, therefore, it's certain to say, shein davar, maybe if not ratzon, akavani hi ratzon amiti. When we say that nothing stands in front of a will, it's talking about a true will. Ratzon sher shupanimi, a root will, an inner will. Meaning to say, call it ritzono shenimtzayim b'leiv. Any desires that are found in the heart, she'enem ha'ratzo amiti l'skarev l'kodesh baruch hu, that are not a true will to get close to Hashem. Ritzonos elu mugdorim b'loshon mush'olim k'ratzon. Those desires are defined with borrowed terms. And when we say, I want, these wants, there's really only one want in this world. Any other want is just imaginary. Zeratzon dimyoni, it's an imaginary desire. Ratzon shu'uli murgush karatzon, it's a borrowed desire that we feel it like it's a real desire. Avochaser bo'esa omeka pnimishal ratzon, but it's really lacking the inner depths of what a true desire is. Zeratzon berima misyamis, this physical desire is a desire that's a false, a cheating type of a ratzon to a certain degree. A ratzon amiti spemes, but a true ratzon, zehu ratzon she'ein davar ha'emet b'fanav. A true ratzon is something that there's nothing standing in front of that. So now, ha'olam hazehu olam hatmuros. This world is a world of everything changing. It's a transitory world. Gal gal choser ba'olam, that the wheel of fortune keeps turning. L'nyaneinu. So now, back to our topic. Hakavana, what are we talking about? We're talking about ratzon in this world? Sharatzon einu tmidi. It's not a consistent ratzon. Meaning to say, pam adam writes a kesef, one day a person needs money. Pam who wrote a covenant, the day wants honor. Pam who wrote a dover echor, pam dover acher. Today he wants something, tomorrow he wants something else. V'tadar mischaf mesavitzonos. The desires keep changing. And that's what makes these not true desires. You may desire it right now, but that's not a real desire. and the desires keep changing. Because if you really wanted it, why do you not want it tomorrow? Right? I mean, you know, you have this with kids all the time. They want certain toys, certain prizes, and they make you crazy to buy it. They really, really want it. They get it, and a week later, a day later, they don't want it anymore. Guess what? Grown-ups aren't much different. They just have a longer time frame. Someone won't be bored with it after one day. I'm bored with it after a month, right? You know, or in terms of relationships, you want somebody, but then later you don't want somebody. Things keep changing back and forth. As quickly as our animalistic desires change, so too do these ritzonos change as well. Now, yesh ratzon achad, but there's one ratzon shu ratzon bebechinas ani Hashem lo shanisi. There's one ratzon that's of the category of I am Hashem and I don't change. Haratzon haloki shebenefesh shu haratzon lasos ritzon yisparchli skarve lov. The desire, the godly desire of the soul that wants to get close to Hashem and do His will. That's the real only will that exists. Any other desire that exists, these are the ones that hide from the person the true desire, which is the desire of the soul. So, that's important to realize that if your desire is to be close to Hashem, that is a consistent desire. It never changes. Now, the details may manifest themselves in different ways. I want to get close to Hashem by understanding this piece of Gemara. I want to get close to Hashem by having a better relationship with my wife. I want to get close to Hashem by eating supper and having the koyach to serve you. All right? There's many different permutations and details within that desire, but it's one desire to get close to you, finished, and that never changes. While the other things in life that are disconnected from Hashem, those aren't true desires because they change. They are as much as the wind blows. So what would come out? Hamahalech shel Shavu. Let's take a look at how the week would go. How would the week go? Shisha yomim. You have 6 days. V'achrei zeh magia Shabbos Kodesh. Then comes the Holy Shabbos. Shehi hayoyim hamaruma mikol yomim. It's the loftiest day of all the days. And we look inside the Shabbos itself. There's elevation after elevation. But that when we get to Mincha, we get to the time of Rav the Raven, the desire of desires. That's what the Zohar calls it. As well known, it is the highest level of Shabbos. B'tfilas mincha shel Shabbos nogim lomer l'vnei atzos sefer Torah sa'pasuk. At mincha, before we take out the sefer Torah, what pasuk do we say? V'ani svilasi l'cho Hashem eis rotzoim. And my prayer to you, Hashem, at an eis rotzon, at an auspicious time. Why is it an auspicious time? Ki zel esman harav d'ravin. This is the time of the greatest desire, the greatest yearning. Hasman bo mizgal harotzen shel ratzonis, because at that time the desire of all desires comes out. Hapnimiyah shel ratzonis amitim, the innermost aspect of the truest desires of the person comes out at shalashudis. Turn a page. Moshe Rabbeinu shehu begematria ratzoin, has the same gematria of ratzoin. Ratzoin is 346. Moshe 345 with Misper Koilo. The one is 346. Right? You always can add one. So it's 345 plus one, 346. Who? So he stalek bishas rava de raven. He left this world Shabbos Mincha time, at the time of the greatest desires. Kibo, because at that time, the Moshe Rabbeinu, his Gala Nakuda Rosh Amiti Shal Yudi, because at that time is revealed the true desire of every Jew. Okay, so we'll see as he's going to explain this more. But that's the time. That is the high point of our Rotzen. Kolzman She'en Gilui L'Rotzen Zebemis, as long as this desire is not revealed, HaRotzonas HaCherim HimRotzonas Shal Dimyonos, the other desires are foolish desires. They don't bring a person to the truth. Remain ratzon shel neshama, and if it's not the desire of the soul, shuv lo shayach kana klal. You don't have this rule anymore that says ein davar made bifnei ratzon. There's nothing that stands in front of a will. Miklal hayna tashmei lav, and from the positive you understand the negative. Shemain ratzon amiti. If there's not a true ratzon, harei shiyesh davar amei b'fanav. If there's something that stands in front of you. Then a person can never really get what he wants. Because there's always going to be certain things in front of you, difficulties that will not enable you to get this. So you got to have the true desire, and that there's nothing stands in front of you. In front of a true desire, there's nothing that stands in front of you. In front of a not true desire, a lot of things stand in front of you. A lot of things stand in front of you. Avodah sa'odam hi. The service of a person is what? Eifo legalos is a rasa pnimi shlamasu, to reveal that innermost desire. Lachesh a rasa pnimi yiyaguli. Once that desire is revealed, melech var yiyaklal shel ein davar made bifnei ratzon. Then the rule applies that nothing stands in its way. So Reish is, as we quoted this pasuk before in Mishlei, the beginning is la'adam mar chelev. The person has to make the arrangements of his heart. He has to know what he really wants. Olav laroch eslibu legalos posa rasamiti. He has to reveal to himself the true desire. Once you're at that point, then Hashem responds with the tongue, meaning to say, havodah kvar aleches mele. The service goes by itself. Hashem takes over. But, kolzman shein ratzon amiti, as long as it's not a true ratzon, behecha sheish ma'akfim amoni ma'adam es hasagas kiras Hashem. There has to be things that are going to hold you back from reaching that closeness to Hashem. Once there's a true desire, it's got to be that the person gets to the truth. When the real ratzon is there, you will get there. There's no question about getting there. If it's not a real ratzon, then you're never going to get there. If it's not a real ratzon, so forget about it. And in other words, if a person says, "I want to get close to Hashem," that's not your real ratzon, because we see too many other things that you do. That is your real ratzon. So it's not your real ratzon. So if it's not a real ratzon, even if it you're saying what the real ratzon should be, there's two points to the real ratzon. It's got to be actually the real ratzon that exists, and you got to really want it. It's two things. All of us saying, "Yeah, we want to be close to Hashem," but that's not a real ratzon on your part, because you really don't want to be close to Hashem, because there's other things that are much more important. That you're just like in that book, The Secret. It says, don't let your actions contradict what you're thinking. Because if you are, then you really don't want what you say you want. Right? So if the person wants to get married, right, you have to do things that reflect the person wants to get married, not a person doesn't want to get married. So if a person says, "I want to get close to Hashem," so start doing the things that reflect that. And if you don't do the things that reflect it, then you really don't believe it. You really don't believe it. So if you don't believe it, then it's not a real ratzon. Even if it is the right ratzon. And other things that you want to have a fancy house, a fancy car, that's not the real ratzon of the person. That's a phony ratzon. And therefore there could be things that stand in the way of that too. There's only that real ratzon. If you really, really want it, then it has to happen. It's just a matter of time for it to happen. Yes, Sammy.
So what comes first then? The ratzon or doing it.
So that's what this book is telling us, that sometimes you have to fake it. It's the same. You have to fake it till you make it. You got
to fake
it. No, but you know you haven't reached the true ratzon yet. You have to cultivate. You have to cultivate the true ratzon. You've got to develop to get to that true ratzon.
But you have to want.
How do you get? You want it initially. But at that point, you really don't want it. So then what are you doing? You have to start verbalizing things and acting as if, so then eventually you really do want it. You really do want it. You start as a person who's learning this stuff, and there's so many other things that you really want. You want the house, you want the car, you want the this, you want that, you want all these things. And they say, "Oh yeah, I want to be close to Hashem." Okay, the truth is you don't want to be close to Hashem as much as you want the other things. That's the real truth. But you want it, but you do want to get there. You intellectually wanting it, and then feeling wanting it. So there's that intellectual wanting. So that's good, but that's not real yet to you. It's not real to you because it's not. You don't feel it that way. So now you got to work on making that want being a real feel. And when that want becomes a real feel, then it becomes a real rutzain. And when it becomes a real rutzain, then it happens. So that's what he's saying is the catch 22 over here. The things that we're doing are going through the motions of pushing us to wanting that rutzain. So it's not real yet, but we're doing the things to try to make it real.
But we have to, otherwise we won't.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to get it.
All right. So then.
Okay, but so at this point in the beginning, there are things that will stand in your way. In other words, there's two levels of operating here. That's what he said in the last chapter. There's three types of people. There's the person who's there already. You're feeling it. Baruch Hashem. It's the people who don't even know what's the big deal about it. Okay, well, you know, might not be able to help you at all. And this guy who wants it in his mind, but he doesn't want it in his heart. I'm assuming that's us. Right? So now, you want it in your mind, so it's not yet a real rutzon. The real rutzon has to be something that you feel it, and it's coming from your neshama.
So
not so that's what he's saying. So we've got to do different things to make that happen. So keep saying things. I keep saying in my before I put my tefillin on Hashem, I should make what I should do should be satisfying you. That I should want to do your will. You have to keep verbalizing all those things every time to say Hashem. Let's go into the car together. Keep talking about Hashem. Keep davening about Hashem. Drop after drop after drop on the rock. And that, you have to keep doing these things. And while you're doing that, you're not feeling amazing. You're not feeling amazing because it's not yet a real feeling. But you're trying to do those things that will make it a real feeling. And when you do it often enough, it will become the real feeling. And then when it becomes the real feeling, so until it becomes a real feeling, the HR is going to try to stop you. And he's going to tell you, no, this isn't worth it. The rabbi's wrong. You've tried and it hasn't worked. And you may very well fail. You may very well fail. But once you hit the jackpot and it's something that you really feel, then it's the soul wanting it, not the brain wanting it, the soul wanting it. So when the soul wants it, then nothing can stop it anymore. Nothing can stop it anymore. So that's the problem. We've got to get to the soul level. That's what he's saying. And there are so many things that has to happen for it to reach to that soul level. That's what this book has been trying, and the previous book has been trying to accomplish. Okay? So to make that the real, real rutzon, it's got to be there. And until the point, there'll be a lot of stumbling blocks. That's why this is the hard part. You know, that's the difference. Once you're in there, you know, then there's nothing stands in front of the neshama. So we've got to be able to tap into that neshama.
How do you know when you're
You'll know. Let's say the same thing. Let's go back and plug it into marriage. Okay? You want to get married. I love this woman. That's not a real rutzon. Before you're married, I love this woman. That's not a real rutzon. And that's a rutzon that can change. That's a rutzon that can change. How do you know you really love your wife? Sam, how many years is it now?
45.
45. Okay, you love your wife more now or when you first got married?
Different kind of love.
Different kind of love, that answer, different kind of love. Can you compare the love? Can you compare the love? Which one would you rather have? The one before you got married or the one you have now?
Both.
Okay, that's an interesting answer. Which one is more real?
The one that I'm at now. Ah.
No, I think more real.
I can't be back where I was.
No, but the way it was 44 years ago, was it as true?
At that time, yes. For me, it felt that way. Yes.
I know, but now in retrospect, if you're comparing the two, if you could live with the way you loved her then or the way that you loved her now.
I don't feel that I was faking it then. I was real there. It was a real feeling. That's what I had. And it changed, of course, but it's...
Okay, so the conventional Jewish wisdom suggests, the conventional Jewish, and that's at least what I've been feeling, is that the love that you have earlier on is more artificial. It's not as real, although you may think it's real. It's more a type of infatuation than a true love.
But that's how you start.
I understand. No one's criticizing. No one's criticizing.
No, I'm just saying that's how it has to start.
That's right. It's exactly. So what are you doing? You know, it was a certain level. Remember, love as defined by the Torah is feeling at one with that person. That's the real meaning of love, is to feel at one with this person, that you and that person are the same being. That is the true definition of love, right? There's no selfishness involved in the marriage. Okay, in the beginning of marriage, there is a tremendous amount of selfishness, because you're getting married for what it'll benefit you. And that's something that you're looking forward to. You're looking forward to home-cooked meals. You're looking for all this attention. You're looking for all these things that'll make you feel good. Right? That's not real love. That's phony love. And we may enjoy that phony love for a while. Right? But then all of a sudden you see all this conflict that happens, especially in the first year of marriage, where you're not getting everything you thought you were going to get. You have to start compromising and this and that and everything else. And that's where there's a great likelihood people can get divorced. Right? Or after a while, you get bored with the person, et cetera, et cetera. So it's that phony love being tested, and quite often it fails. So what happens is, you know, then someone sits you down, or hopefully someone teaches you, says, listen, you're supposed to do certain things if you love your wife. Well, I don't really want to do it so much, but this is what you got to do, man. These are the rules. You know, you got to do this. You got to listen to her. You got to offer to be nice to her. You got to volunteer to do all these things. I don't know. I'm going to love her more by this. Yeah, you will. Don't worry about it. You will. And you just do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. And as time passes, guess what? You feel a lot closer to that person. Not by what you get from the person, but what you give to the person. That's the way the rule works. Now, when you're doing it for the first while, you're not enjoying it. You're not enjoying taking out the garbage. You're not enjoying doing things, the mishigasim that she tells you to do, and all these things. You don't enjoy it. You don't really enjoy it. Yeah, you begrudgingly do it. Okay, I'll do it.
I don't think that's changed much, really, in that respect.
Well, let's hope it does.
No. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that was essential when we got married that I should like or not like to take out the garbage, etc. That wasn't the main thing.
That was the price you pay.
Well, I didn't even think of it as a price that pay.
Okay. A lot of men do. I'm just saying, the point I'm trying to make is that your real desire of marriage doesn't come till later, if at all. And there's many people who live their lives with people that they never really are really close with those people. And they're just living from one...
Because they
live from one thing to the next. Live from one thing to the next. You know, we go on a cruise, we do this, we're busy with our jobs, we don't have that much to do with each other. And you know, we meet from time to time. But it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. So, and that's why it's breaking down. The whole idea of marriage in the second world is breaking down. It's not lasting anymore. It's not lasting anymore. Because people are, we're coming before the times of Mashiach. They're looking for the truth, and they're seeing this isn't the truth. This isn't true love. They don't know what love is, but they know this isn't it. And they're breaking up like crazy. And the needs aren't being satisfied. Because they're not making the effort to take it the next step further. So you know, when you're married, you know, the love that you say you have, that's not a real love. All right, that's what brings you together. That's fine. That's not the real love. And your desires within that phony love can change and change and change and change. But to get the real love, you've got to fake it till you make it. You got to go through the actions of what a real loving person would do. A real loving person would not be selfish. And therefore, you have to do a lot of non-selfish things over and over and over and over. And then over time, you feel this closeness to the person. If love comes from the word hav, which means to give, the more you give, the more you will love this person. But there's going to be a long time of giving where you're not going to feel it. And then only over time, when a lot of giving has happened and there's a lot of you invested in her, then you're going to feel that love that you weren't able to feel at the time when you were young and silly and foolish. So how do you know when you're in love? Is the question. It's no different question than the question you asked. How do you know when you're close to Hashem? How do you know when you're in love? One thing's for sure, when you know the person for a short period of time, you're not in love. finished. Whatever that feeling is, it's not love. It's whatever else you want to call it, but it's not love.
Romance.
Infatuation is not love. So how are we going to feel it? You'll know. When you feel that you and that person are one being, when your wife's foot hurts, your foot hurts, then you know you're in love. Because what do you want? Only be close to her. So that's the same, that the marriage paradigm is the paradigm that helps us get close to Hashem. So how are you going to know that you're close to Hashem? When something happens, when you see someone doing an avera, it hurts you. You see a yid driving a car on Shabbos, it hurts you. Right now it doesn't hurt any of us. Bother you? It doesn't really bother you. We're tolerant. It doesn't bother you, but it will hurt you. You're going to feel a pain in your neshama. A yid is driving a car on Shabbos. It's terrible. Not that the yid's a bad person, but if the yid was keeping Shabbos, how much better it could be. Right? You're going to feel it that your greatest, the most fun thing you could do is to learn Rambam all day. Is to daven all day. You're going to know it. When it's going to be there, you're going to know it. You're going to know it when everything else that you liked before, you really don't like anymore. When you don't care about hockey games, you don't care about every Michigan. It's just a Michigas. You'll know it. When it comes, you'll know it. It'll be so clear to you that you know it. Because it'll be so pleasurable. It'll be the only thing you want to do. All this religious stuff. That's the only thing you want to do. You'll know you're there when you never get angry anymore. There was all those things. Because you're living with Hashem. How can you ever get angry? How can you ever get angry if you're close to Hashem? You can't get angry. You could be zealous for His cause, but you're not going to be angry. You'll know when you're there. So there's little, so how I'm getting there, you're getting a little less angry. Getting a little less angry. Not everything's upsetting you anymore. And as time's passing, less things are upsetting you. And all the other things are slowly getting there. Slowly getting there. So there are signs along the way that you're getting there. And then when you're there, you'll know you're there. So that's not more. That's what we say to say. We can't explain how you feel that way until you're going to feel that way. Just can't explain it. Go explain a newlywed couple what real love is. They don't have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, it sounds terrible. What are you talking about? I'm going to have to do what she wants. My greatest pleasure is her pleasure. Oh, well, I didn't need to get married for that, right? So they don't get it. But it works. It works. Yes, Leonard. I don't understand the question. Say it again.
You just said getting there is like you show no anger anymore. Whatever you do in your life is there's no. You don't want to go to a hockey game. There's no way you want to go to a hockey game. Obviously, you'd rather go study Rambam. Okay, so everything you've beaten your Yetzer
Hara. No. So when you're at the end, you've right, beaten your Yetzer Hara. Not in the middle.
I'm saying that end part that Sam's talking about when you get there. What you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Close to their God, but to get their God, you might as well say you're a tzaddik. Am I right? Because that's what a tzaddik is.
The Amcha Kulam Tzaddikim, the prophet says, and your nation are all tzaddikim. The prophet says we're all capable of being tzaddikim. That's all. Once you hit the tipping point, a tzaddik doesn't have to be a scholar. Doesn't have to be a scholar to be a tzaddik. You don't have to be a scholar. You just have to want to be close to Hashem and live in that reality. All of the tzaddik is you like to listen to your Yetzer Tov. We learned the Rambam, Leonard. What the Rambam say? Right? The person who listens to his Yetzer Tov and not to his Yetzer Hara. Right? That's a tzaddik.
But I'm still saying this closeness that you're talking about, which is the closeness to God doesn't make sense there. That's the closest you can get to God, but there's a lot of closeness you can get to God getting there.
Yeah, there's levels. Yes, there's levels.
Otherwise, no one could. I mean, I'm not saying no one. You just said we're all a nation of tzaddiks or whatever. But to get there, you don't see it. I mean, you see it.
You don't see it because people aren't sustaining. First of all, you don't see it because people don't even know what they're supposed to do. I'm telling you. People who don't understand Jewish hashkafa properly, they don't even understand what they're supposed to do as yidden. So forget it. They're never going to get there. Even people. We've read 1.5 books already. It's still a struggle. That's right. So you just got to keep. You got to just keep doing it. Just got to keep doing it. So how many people are doing this? Listen, there's never going to be a final point because there's always deeper levels of closeness. You got to the closest. Now you can get closer than that. I mean, let's put it this way. Whatever tzaddik you're going to think is a tzaddik in our generation, is not the same tzaddik as the Chavetz Chaim was. And the Chavetz Chaim wasn't the same tzaddik as the Rambam. And the Rambam wasn't the same tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's going to be levels deeper and deeper. No, you get into the zone of being close, of wanting to be close to Hashem. Then there's deeper levels of closer to Hashem. There's advanced levels. We're just trying to get into that zone. Once you get into that zone, then you spend the rest of your life trying to get further into it. But that's the challenge, to get from outside, from the mind to the heart. That's the job. And the question is it something you really want? Even in the mind, do you really want? In other words, really want means I'm going to really make the effort. Am I prepared to really make the effort? That's the issue here. Now, which is all jumped ahead of the next subtopic, which is Hamivchan Lirosim Kvar Yeshno Gili L'Ratz Hapnimi, the test to see if there is a revelation of the true inner desire, which was your question. Kol Adam Shenishal. Also, Haimu wrote, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every person, if we ask them, do you want Hashem? Hatshuva vadai tiyachiyuvis. It would definitely be a positive answer. Yeah, I want Hashem. Aval nitan mifchan pashat v'am. Let's give a simple test to see if you want Hashem. Kivan shebirayin u'shar ratzon l'kirvus Hashem. Hu ratzon ha'mitya yachid b'sheyesh. Since we clarified that the desire to get close to Hashem is the true only ratzon that exists, and any other desire is only a manifestation of something that you think is a ratzon, dimyono shel ratzon, it's imaginary ratzon. Nimtza comes out, that the power of the true ratzon is only the ratzon to want Hashem. Imkain, therefore, a person can test out if this desire has begun to reveal himself or not. Kate said, how? Next page, Kufnanei. Im haratzon shlo l'kivas Hashem, hu haratzon achasek b'yos, shumaker ba'atzmo, simen sheyeshna kfar haschol shagil ratzon amiti. If his desire to be close to Hashem is stronger, and he can recognize in himself that it's stronger than anything else he desires. If you can really look at it and say, I want this more than anything else, that's a sign that it's begun to be revealed. But if this desire is equal to any other desire you have, it's a sign that the deeper, truer, inner desire has not begun to be revealed. Because the power of that ratzon, there's nothing in the world that compares to it. In terms of real pleasure, there's nothing that compares to it. There's no comparison to the depths of wanting to get close to Hashem than any other desire. As long as you don't feel in your soul clearly the desire to come close to Hashem is stronger than anything else, then we must say by definition that ratzon has been hidden from you. So that's what I was saying. So I was saying before, you really want it more than anything else in the world, because the truth is, it is more pleasurable than anything else. When you will get there, you'll see how pleasurable it is. And when you got an unbelievable pleasure stacked up against phony pleasures, at that point in time, there's no contest. You don't want that anymore. Now we understand this in the superficial world. Because we understood, Sammy, that when you were 6 years old, you would have loved playing, you did love playing with Lego or any other Irish kite that was there, and that really was your ratzon at that point in time. Baruch Hashem, we know that that's not your ratzon anymore. right? And you have other ratzon. Now, unfortunately with us, all these are phony ratzons. But at least you could tell, you know, an adult, let's say a secular adult, if you tell him, listen, I got tickets to game 7 of the Stanley Cup, or you can play all night with Lego, he knows his priorities. He does not, Lego just doesn't do anything for him anymore. It's not even a Shiloh. Right? Now, can you imagine if the Rutzen to be close to Hashem is a million times better than the 7th game of the Stanley Cup? If it's there, then you have no Rutzen to anything else. But to do what you have to do. Right? So when that Rutzen is clear inside of you, and you'll know it, you'll feel it. That's what I was saying. If you want to be in shul all day long, and that's the greatest thing you want to do, and you want to be learning, and you want to be doing chesed, and you want to just meditate with it, the best thing I can do is just think of Hashem. Just leave me be for a half an hour, and let me just think of Hashem. That's what I do more than anything else. And instead of, you know, than just, you know, looking on the internet and things like that. You know, what do you want to do that for? That's my kids' play. So then you know you're there. That Ratzon has been revealed. And if not, then you know it's not there. Yeah? Feels like.
We think that it's something like, you know, so what I'm saying is when we feel that we want to be close to Hashem, we're thinking about what you were saying yesterday, an incredible Musaf where we were moved during Tefillah, or a Shemana Esrei where we hit a zone where we were incredible closeness, or a, you know, or a few
right.
feelings here and there. So,
right.
But he's saying that's not even what it is. So how?
That's right. So I'm telling you, you have that great Musaf, but Motzei Shabbos, you take out a video you should be watching. The same person inspired by that Musaf is doing things Motzei Shabbos shouldn't be doing. So they're vacillating.
Well, let's say we're not, you know, but I mean, what I'm saying is that we're reaching for that
hisponus,
right?
Hisponus is the means. It's not the end. Okay, you're trying to touch and get that feeling to reveal there is something very special at that time, and then that's going to be something I want to further develop after Shal Shus.
And what he's saying is those things are going to motivate us to get to a place that we don't even know what it is.
That's right. That's why you could have an amazing Shal Shus, but it's 9:15, I have to leave. I have to leave. What do you mean you have to leave? Because I have to go. What do you have to go for? I have to go. What are you talking about? I have to go for. So that means, you know, it was inspiring, but I just gotta go. Right? So then there's something else that's important. So that's where we're struggling. We're at that struggling level to finally, you know, bring it over the top. Now, of course, that's not so simple. You have to have a husband and a wife that are working on this together. You know, and that's where, you know, that can be challenging. But again, it doesn't stop you from this rut, so nobody can stop. You know, I'm sure when Rav Meir Rutenberg was sitting in jail, right, for many, many years, he was close to Hashem the whole time. You know, this close to Hashem doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. This is the saving grace for those who have spouses who are not as excited about Yiddishkeit as they are. No one can take away that Ratzon to be with Hashem. And even if you have to do something you don't want to do, but your heart doesn't have to be there. Your heart doesn't have to be there, right? And you can be thinking of Hashem while you're externally going through the motions of something else. Even if you have to go to a movie, your heart can be somewhere else. It's harder, you know. And maybe this is what Hashem is asking from us before Mashiach's times. You know, for Rabbi Akiva to be close to Hashem, it wasn't that hard. I mean, I'm not minimizing what he did, but he had a wife who was supportive. To be close to Hashem when you have spouses who aren't supportive. Whoa. To think of Hashem when you're in a movie house. Rabbi Akiva never had to do that. So, but now Hashem may be demanding that from people in our generation. And to be able to do that, whoa, that's something that never before happened. And that could be a big merit. That could be a big, big merit. Okay, let's try to tackle another short concept. Kufnonei. Hakaras ha-nefesh al dei b'china shel levado. The recognition of the soul by the definition of levado, by himself. Here's a good piece. Let's go back to that pasuk. I, my prayers are for you, Hashem, in an auspicious time. May I ace ratzon shalabore from that auspicious time of the Creator, show if Adam, a person can draw forth umaras a ratzon shalatzon, and able to bring forth his own ratzon. at certain times, you know, it's easier to bring that ratzon and make it a reality. As Suras Avodal Arasai says, Ratzon Nitin Luma Moshe Rabbeinu L'Sham Tzuris Yisalks Melam. This way of this service to awaken this auspicious time, we can learn from it from Moshe Rabbeinu at the time that he left this world. And let's think about how he left this world. Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu Kosov, it writes by Moshe Rabbeinu, V'lo Yada Ishes Kfuraso, nobody knows where he's buried. Now, Yesh Kama Kama Oifani L'Farish Pasuk said, there's many ways to explain that Pasuk. But for we need over here, this is how we will define it. If nobody knows where Moshe is buried, Moshe is found by himself. You know, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is not by himself because there's tons of people with him on Rosh Hashanah and throughout the year. And it's not a negative thing, it's a reality. You know, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he's not alone.
Ever.
Moshe Rabbeinu, no one ever visits him. Right? No one visits him. Kishiyodim Hecham Ishu Nimsu, you know where somebody is. Shaykh Lobo, you can come to him. Lishkabalov, to connect him. But feel like it's amazing, even by dead people. Shaykh Lalo Salkim, you can go to their kever. But Moshe Rabbeinu Nimsu, but Mahalach Shabbat, Moshe is found on a path of what? Lo Yeda Ish Eskvarasa, nobody knows his grave. Imkenu Nimsu, may us, Ptirasa Kivyok, Bukhanesh Alvaro. So from the time of his death, he's alone. He's a loner. So now what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu Yisalak B'Shas Rav Adaravin. Moshe Rabbeinu left this world at the time of desire of desire. Shubachinus Ratzon Ratzon. This is the level of the highest desires. Haratzon Pnimi, the innermost desire. Ulachain Miskala Banakuda Ech Masigim Yes Otsa Ratzon. And now it's revealed to us. How do we reach that level? Abanas Lasikas Ratzon Amiti Tzorech Lios B'Mahalach Shel Vayiva Ser Levado. In order to reach that highest, truest level of being close to Hashem, you have to be at the level, as it says by Yaakov Avinu, and he remained alone by himself. This aloneness, only with Hashem, that's the highest level. Kach nemarit so Yaakov Avinu, that's what it says by Yaakov, v'yivaser Yaakov vado, Yaakov remained by himself. Avol shom ha-yivater ha-yarak usmanwa, but that was only for a little while. Only for that night he was by himself. Zman Mugbal, a short amount of time. And then he got together with everybody else. Avol Moshe Rabbeinu Mishas Pirasa, from the time of his death, Nimsum Halach Omek, he's on a deeper pathway of what? Shall we even say Levado? He's by himself. Ein Lafilu Shemet Shal Chibur Moshe. He has no attachment to this physical world. There's not one human being who visits him. He has zero connection to this world. He has an innermost connection, not an external connection, only appears to be a connection. Okay, so we'll have to wait in midstream here, because it's time to stop. But you begin to see the idea of how you can get to this level of this connection to Hashem.